Thank you, folks, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to share God's word with you this morning, and for speaking in your lovely church. And I haven't just come here to give you a sermon, but I've been seeking the Lord, and I've got a word for you, specifically for you. So pay attention this morning, because the Lord wants to speak to you. And he wants to do something in your life. And it's not about our natural life, although we think it is. It gets in the way of his life. His life is spiritual life. And the natural life can come to the forefront, and the spiritual life can go to the background. And this morning he's going to bring his life from the background to the foreground in your life, and you will have a far more fruitful year ahead than what's behind you. The word of the Lord this morning is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 1, and it says this: Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man was there with a shriveled hand, or a withered hand. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Stand up in front of everyone. Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his withered hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This miracle that happened back then in the synagogue is a miracle that God is doing in people's lives today. He's restoring the areas of our life that are withered. Withered. We live in a world, and the world and the flesh and the devil, like a good show. It was a good show in the synagogue, a good show of their religion. But let me tell you something about this world. They like a good show. People flock to the shows, the entertainments, the show. When I first got saved, I was already engaged to my wife, and we were getting married, but then I came to know Jesus just before I got married. We got married and we went to London on our honeymoon. And my wife said, "Well, let's go and see a show." So everybody was going to shows. And we saw a show with Michael Crawford in it called Barnum. And we watched his show, and then, "Oh, let's go and watch another show." And people were saying, "What a marvelous show it was." And I said, "I enjoyed that show, Lord." He said, "I didn't. It was just a show. You see that man there?" "Yes, Lord." "He's committing adultery with this one. Do you know this one is sleeping with this one? Do you know these people are full of lust for one another?" You were looking at the show. It's like a shop front. A shop always puts a good shop front on, don't they? Don't you walk past shops and you see the front of the shop? Do you know what the Lord said to me? "I don't look at the front of the shop. I look in the back room." You go in a shop's back room, it's a mess. And God says, "That's what I'm like. I don't look at the show. I don't look at the outward appearance. I don't look at what man projects. I look at the back room. I look in his heart." Jesus doesn't take pictures and selfies. He takes x-rays. He says what's below the surface. He sees the motives. He sees the self. He sees the spirit has been pressed down. Once somebody gave me an apple tree, and they planted that apple tree. And do you know what happened to that apple tree? Do you know what it produced? Nothing. The twigs. It was out of season, and the twigs started being brittle, and they were just snapping off. And I thought, well, there's no life in this apple tree. I said to the man, that apple tree you give me is dead. He said, no, Maldwin. He said, it's alive. He said, the life in the tree has gone down to the roots. It's withdrawn from the branches, but the life is still in the tree. He said, you fertilize it. You water it. And he said, see what happens next year. So I did. I fertilized it, watered it, and these branches that are withered, you know, the life came up the trunk and out through the branches. And then I started to see little green buds. And then came the leaves and the flowers. And then came the apples. And I also grew some rhubarb. I love rhubarb, but I don't just love rhubarb. It's too sharp. So I put the apples. My wife puts the apples with the rhubarb. It sweetens a bit. I'll tell you, it's delicious. It taught me a lesson. And the Holy Spirit witnessed. That's what I'm like. You see, I am the vine. You are the branches. Every branch that doesn't bear good fruit is pruned off, is cut off. But every branch that bears good fruit, I prune it so it'll bear even more fruit. Do you know what Jesus said in John chapter 15? I chose you, and I chose you to bear fruit. But then he says, and more fruit. And then he says, and much fruit. By this is my Father glorified in your life. Not by the outward show, but by the inward fruit. It's called fruit of the Spirit. There is no fruit of the flesh. The works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. So the outward show. Jesus said this. It's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick. I haven't come for the righteous. I came for sinners. Jesus wants to do a work in our life, but there's a problem. And the problem is in our thinking. We think wrong. You see, he doesn't want to restore the areas of our life that are good. He wants to restore something in the background that will show up in the foreground. Because there's something in our hearts that's been buried and that's become withered, and things that we have buried in the past that hinder our future. And he wants to unlock those things this morning. And he's going to touch you this morning in areas that you've locked away in your filing cabinet, and you filed away and says, know those withered areas? Know those areas of disappointments? You know those hopes that you once had, and then are they dead, they buried? You're still alive, but your hopes are dead. Hope deferred makes the heart feel sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. He wants to bring the life of Christ up within us. And I'll tell you what, you will hope above all hopes, because what he says he will do. Amen. Let me tell you something about the church. And our church, I'm a pastor, two churches in the valleys. I said, Lord, why is it that people make commitments to you and over time they turn away from you? We all know people like that, don't we? And do you know what he said to me? He said, because they committed to me. Well, I can't understand that because I'm Welsh. Maybe you're English, you may be to understand it. I thought, well, Lord, we're supposed to have people to make commitments to you. Watch this. This is brilliant. He said, if people can commit their lives to me when the going is good, they will omit their lives from me when the going goes bad. Now listen carefully. I never called anybody to be committed, but I called everybody to be converted. There's a difference. And I thought, that's what happened to me. I didn't, when I made a commitment to Jesus, I heard his voice the next day. He said, you know about me, you believe in me, but you don't know me. And I was on my face, and that night I got converted, and I've never been unconverted. Because when you are converted, in good times, bad times, ugly times, rainy times, stormy times, it makes no difference because the life of Christ is in you. And the life of Christ will bring you through any storm, any trouble, any mountain. You'll overcome anything, everything. The world can't overcome it. You have faith in Christ has overcome the world. You have faith in Christ, overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, overcome the devil. But there's another enemy, and that is the one within. It's called your own flesh. And when you're converted in Christ, your spirit, which is more powerful than the flesh, the spirit will always win over the flesh. You'll always come through. You see, the world of flesh and the devil crucified Jesus on the cross. They buried him. And they put him in that tomb. But the world couldn't stop him. The devil couldn't have him. Hell couldn't hold him. Nothing. The flesh, the world, and the devil, they all failed because Jesus rose again. Because the life of God is in Jesus. And the life of God in Jesus is in you if you are a converted believer. You will always rise again. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Have you thought about that? Do you know what he's saying? The life of God in the church, the devil can never destroy the church. But the church can destroy the works of the devil. You don't seem so sure about that one. You see, it doesn't mean the gates of hell will not come against the church. Or they'll come. They'll come from within and they'll come from without. But they cannot destroy it. Because there's a greater one in the church. We are the bride of Christ. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The devil has lost before he began. Jesus has conquered the devil. And in Christ you are more than a conqueror. You see, if we are committed, we're relying on our own natural power and strength to get us through. But when we are converted, we rely upon his power and his spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's the spirit and life of Christ within us that comes up. And it was the life and spirit of Christ that touched this man in this synagogue. Stand up, he said, in front of everyone. Now stretch out your hand. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem. We live in an age which is outward, especially on the internet and so forth. You know, it reminds me of a Muslim guy. This Muslim guy. He went online and he saw this beautiful, stunning woman. Beautiful blonde hair, nice red lips. I mean, she had some Botox injected in it, but like, you know, they're all like this today in them. And the filters, you know, she'd had about 17 filters to filter out all the crinkles and wrinkles and spots and everything. And she just looks so glamorous, like something from Hollywood. And he fell in love with this girl over the internet. Well, I wouldn't say love, fell in lust with the image. And so he contacted her and he said, you know, oh, I love you. And he showered her with gifts and he proposed to her and they got married. And they had a stunning wedding and I had a Ferrari and she was there in a dress and they were all taking pictures of her. And then he took her home. And they went to the honeymoon suite in this big Dubai hotel. Everything was stunning until she started to undress. And when she took the veil off, the clip caught her wig, and the wig came off with it. And he looked, this lovely blonde hair was just a wig, and the wig came off. And he looked, and there was a bald wife, and he looked at his wife, shocked, and then she took her fake eyelashes. And she wiped the lipstick off her thing, and then he looked in horror. She took a fake eye. She had a false eye, and she took her eye out, and he was aghast. And then the worst thing of all, she took her false teeth out, and she put in a glass of water by the bed, and he looked at his wife. Are you shocked? Now this is a true story. He didn't sleep with his bride-to-be. He took her to court and he sued her for false pretenses. And the judge said, well, you married her. He said, but she's not the woman that I married. The woman that was in bed wasn't that woman that I saw on the internet and the woman I married. And they said, no, legally, you married this woman. So this woman is your wife. He said, but there's only half of her. He said, the other half. Now, that's a true story. It's a true story made headlines. And I thought, that's what this world is like. We like to put on a good front, don't we? In the valleys, years ago, the people in the valleys, where I come from, they don't meet in churches, they meet in chapels. And on Sunday, they used to dress up. They used to make the effort to dress up and put on their best dresses and feathers in their caps and knight's hats and everything. Well, I can see you're not from the valleys. You have made the effort today, but it was a show, you see. But they would go into them buildings really unhappy, and they'd come out even unhappier. They had long faces gone in, and he came out with faces like horses. And I thought, whatever they got in those buildings, they can keep it to themselves. Because I was happy. I really was a happy sinner. When I came to Jesus, I got even happier. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. When you start trusting in yourself, you go down to the level of self. But when you get in the Spirit, the joy, the love, the joy and peace of the Holy Spirit start to rise up. He has replaced lust with love. Amen. Today, people don't know the difference. They look at Hollywood, they look at the world, it's all a show. You see, lust cannot wait. Lust satisfies self. But love waits. Love doesn't think of itself. Love thinks of the other person. Good message, eh? Good message for a pastor. There, eh? We don't think of ourselves. We die to selves. We live for others. We live to serve others because we love the Lord and we love other people. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love's not selfish. Love is blind. So it's not the sick that need to be healed. It's not the healthy that need to be healed, but the sick. So he wants us to bring those areas of our life that in the background, that are buried below the surface, to the surface. There was a little boy in school called Johnny. We are like Johnny. And Johnny always had dirty hands. You know when you've been playing in the muck, Nathan, and your hands get dirty, and your mother said, wash your hands. Well, the teacher called him out the front. Johnny, come out the front. Come out the front. Johnny was like, said, Johnny, put out your hand. And the little boy said, oh, no. You see, we hide away the dirty areas. And little Johnny looked down and he brought out his dirty hand in front of the old class. He was so embarrassed. And the teacher said, Johnny, I'm going to give you 6 of the best, 6 kids. He said, oh, sir, please have mercy on me. Have mercy. He said, well, Johnny, he said, if I find a dirtier hand than that in school, I won't care now. And suddenly, little Johnny was beaming from eye to eye. And the teacher said, Johnny, why are you laughing? And he said, sir, he showed him an even dirtier hand. And the boy didn't have a cane. You see, that's what we are like. We hide the areas behind our back. We hide the thoughts behind the back. Jesus said to this man, stretch out your hand. Most of us would have stretched out the good hand. No, not the good hand. You don't need healing in the good hand. You don't need healing in the areas of your life. You've got it together. You don't need any healing there. No, 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 no. Jesus said, I don't want to heal what's already okay. I want to heal the areas of your life that are withered. I want to heal the areas of your life that people can't see. I don't want to heal your shop window. I want to go into that back room and sort out the mess and get that sorted out, because if you get the background sorted out, it'll come to the foreground. Jesus wants to clean what's been dirtied by the world, the flesh, and the devil. He wants to heal what's been buried. He wants things to rise again in our life. But he doesn't just want those things to rise. He wants you to rise. You will rise again. No matter what you've gone through, you will rise again. Through Christ, you will rise again. We are like cream in the milk. You can push us to the bottom, but you know what? As soon as you let us go, we'll rise back to the top. We will always rise again. The church will rise again. Jesus rose again. Your dead hopes will rise again. Your faith will rise again. And love always rises again, because God is love and God is in it, and no one can conquer God. Praise the Lord. Don't get me excited, or I'll start preaching to you. Jesus said this, or the Bible says this, his power is made perfect in weakness. We want to show people our strengths, but his power operates through our weaknesses. The area that we're unsure of is, that's when I'm working. That's when I'm moving. Ah, but I'm strong. I'm successful. I'm the world. I'm this. I'm that. I'm that. God says, I can't work through that. Now let me take you into the back room, and let's operate by you and touch some of these areas, so that your confidence is not in yourself. Your confidence is in Christ. And sometimes you've got to be broken of self so that the life of Christ can flow into you and flow through you and through your vulnerabilities and areas where you feel you're weak in. That's where God moves in your life. God moves in your weakness. Lord, I remember saying to God, God, I can't speak. You've called the wrong person. And the vicar asked me to speak 3 verses from the book of Philippians. I went home. I turned the water on, cold water in the bath, and I put my head in the bath. And my wife came up the stairs. Marvin, what are you doing? Marvin, don't kill yourself. You only got to speak in church. I said, I'm not trying to kill myself. I'm trying to cool my head down. I said, and you know, my head was cool, and all the sweat come out from under my arms, and my shirt was soaking. You know, I went to church with a wet shirt, and it was all sweating, and I was so nervous, and I got up, and I opened my mouth, and the first verse came out, thank God. But the second verse, I began to choke up. And the third verse, nothing came out at all. And I sat down, and my face went as red as you were caught this morning, and you were jumping over there. And I thought, I am never, ever going to do that again as long as I live. I'm not going to preach. And I said to God, I'm not going to preach. So you called the wrong person. Let me tell you something about God. Don't ever tell God something you're not going to do. Because I want to tell you something. No matter what you want to do, he'll end up taking you round in big circles, small circles, and he'll bring you back to the very thing you said you're not going to do, and he'll make you do it. He says, I'm God, not you. You don't tell me what you're going to do. I tell you what to do. I said, but I don't want to preach. I'm not going to preach. You know, I get up here, I feel like a naked man. I think, you got the wrong person. But you know, it's not about me, it's about him. And it's about his love. How many of you came last night to that meeting? And was you blessed? Let me tell you something. I didn't have a clue what I was going to say last night. And they're there, and I think, and I hope he don't ask me up yet, just yet, because I haven't got a clue what I'm going to talk about. But I could see the water baptism. I thought, oh, yeah, Noah, yeah, the water. And they asked me, and I'm just kind of like talking, and I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm waiting for him to say something to me so that I can speak it out, because that's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that advances the kingdom of God. Only what comes from heaven returns back to heaven. So if I just got a bunch of knowledge I'm passing on to you, let me tell you, the life of Christ hasn't touched you. But if I bring something from him to you with a bit of Welsh humor, you see, it's like catching fish. I got saved. I was really happy. I tell you what, and I went to a Baptist church. Let me tell you something. God, they really know how to get the happiness out of you in a Baptist church. They said, you, we was like you once. I said, what do you mean, like me? Well, we was happy. We was up there, but we came down. I said, well, how long did it take you to come down? Oh, he was down in 6 months. And I said, well, I've been up here for 2 years and I don't want to come down. I said, I'm enjoying it. But I'll tell you what, they're persistent in the Baptist church. They don't give up. They did their best and they to bring me down. And one day I said, I can't go to that church no more. Well, I did go to church. I sat at the back, like you at the back, because I thought, if them elders start on me, I'm going through the door. Anyway, it was a difficult season, and you know, they went for the jugular, and they got me out to church. I hadn't done anything wrong. And I was out, and what am I going to do now? I hadn't even got a church to go to. I haven't got nothing. And the Lord said, you got me, and that's all you need. Well, praise the Lord. I look back, I say, thank you, Lord, for the Baptists. Because if it wasn't for them, I would have become one of them. And now he got me out, and I'm out on the water, like out walking on the water. And we've planted a couple of churches, spoke all over the nation, all over India. Hundreds, thousands of people have come to the Lord. Miracles, like I could be up here all day telling about the miracles the Lord has done. But you see, what I've discovered in my weakness was our power is his strength, not our strength. You see, he works everything together for good, for those who love him and called according to his purpose. How many of you believe that? Put one hand up in the air. Okay, let me ask you, keep your hand up. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever complained since you become a Christian? Yeah. Well, those who are, put your hand down. Oh. Ah, the pastor was holding it up there, and he thought, oh, yeah, yeah. Why do we complain? When the Bible says, do everything without arguing and complaining. And you know the real problem? Because we don't believe that verse. When something is going wrong, we've got to complain. But if you complain, you remain. But if you start praising up in difficult times, God will start raising you up. Like Joseph, when he raised him out of the prison and the pit and took him to the palace. Like Jesus, when he rose him from the dead. Did Jesus say, oh Lord, Father, you don't know what they've done to me. They rejected. Oh, do you know what Mrs. Jones said to me in the vestry? Lord, I can't cope, Lord. Oh, you poor dab. The real problem is unbelief. When things are going wrong, let me tell you, everything is going right. It's going wrong our way, but it's going right His way. Say, not my way, but Yahweh. Yeah, His way. His way is the way. I don't want to frighten you because you all look nice Christians. But Jesus chose the way of the cross. And He calls you to choose the way of the cross, which means to die to your flesh, your self-life, so the life of Christ can flow to you and through you. Oh, this is wonderful. So He says to this man, stand up in front of everybody. They got an outward show, an outward religion. They think more about the day than the person. Lord, you're doing this on the wrong day. No. Every day is the Lord's day to do good to people. Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And this guy had been oppressed of the devil. He had a withered hand. Stand up in front of everybody and stretch out your withered hand. No, not that hand. Not your good hand. Not your good marriage. Your withered hand and your withered marriage. And those withered relationships with those children and the parents that they withered. And those withered relationship with God. And those withered things that have attacked your body to sap away the health and strength and the life of Christ within you. That's the areas He wants to touch and heal. So, remember those two guys in the temple? Two come in. One of them, I mean, he was so self-confident. God, thank you, I'm not like other men. Thank you that I tithe, I do this and I do that, and I pray and I fast. Thank you, God, I'm pretty pleased with myself. You know, I'm pretty proud. Self. But the other one humbled himself down. God don't work through human pride. He doesn't work through the outward show. He works through humility and humbling. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves. If you humble yourself down, God will raise you up. But if you raise yourself up, He will bring you down. God, be merciful to me. God said, Jesus said, that man went away justified. Because when he humbled himself down, the life of God entered into his heart. When I humbled myself down to that carpet today, I was committed to Christ. But when I humbled myself down, I was converted to Christ. Can you see the difference? And when I got converted, the life of Christ came in. One day, let me tell you, not just about the good side of ministry, but the other side. One day a guy attacked me with a machete. Not in the jungles of Africa, in the valleys of Wales. They let him out of a mental home and he come running at me and he went And my wife shouted, "Maldwyn!" I said, "Yes, honey." And his knife was coming down at me. I dodged, and the knife swung down low, and he missed me. Thank you, Lord. One day I was in a tent, doing a tent campaign in a field, and 1 o'clock in the morning, a gang of skinheads came and attacked the tent. And I was repairing it, and I walked into this gang. I mean, these guys are like Arnold Schwarzenegger, not like me. And they circled me, and they pulled out knives out of their socks, out of their backs, and they moved in, urging each other to kill me. And I was in this circle, and the circle just moved in. They said, "Go on, stab him. Nobody, no witnesses." I just looked up to the Lord. I said one word. Just come out of my heart and through my lips. I just said, "Jesus." They all fell backwards with their knives, and they just kept walking backwards. And they walked backwards across the field, and I was looking at this strange sight. And why are these people walking backwards? And one of them was even walking sideways. It's like a crab. And you know, I was there one day, and I saw a modern day miracle as power in the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus is the life of Jesus. When my wife wants me, she calls me Maldwyn. I know my wife's voice. "Maldwyn, that's somebody's attacking you." "Maldwyn." Ooh, I know what that voice means. Her eyelids starts twitching, and those eyebrows start going, "Maldwyn, I know what this means. She wants to go shopping." What I'm saying to you is she can't see me. Sometimes she can't see me. She goes, "Maldwyn." What it is, I hear my name and I say, "Yes, Carol, I'm coming." You see, behind the name of Jesus is the person of Jesus. Behind the person of Jesus is the life of Jesus. And it's the life of Jesus that healed this man. It is the life of Jesus that raised him from the dead. Or rather, the life of God in Jesus, through Jesus, that did the miracles. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's life in the name of Jesus. The whole world puts the name down, but he's counting on the church to raise up the name of Jesus. He had not raised up the name of Buddha, Muhammad, all them. They all died and stayed dead. But when they buried his son, he rose again and he said, "This is my son. Listen to him. Jesus is the name above all other names. Jesus." And he says, "Now go in you and him. Go in my name. Preach Jesus. Lift up Jesus. When you're in trouble, call on the name of Jesus." Now, I'm nearly finished with my introduction, and I'll get into the message this morning. So, to close, which means I'm not quite there yet. I was a pastor of a church, and we got another pastor in. Everything went wrong. Have you noticed when everything seems to go right, it's followed by everything going wrong? Anybody ever lived a real life? I'm not talking about your Sunday life now, but I mean real life. You got married to Prince Charming, didn't you? Or you thought he was Prince Charming. I said, "But why is your marriage falling apart?" She said, "He was so nice." She said, "But he just couldn't stop breaking wind in bed," she said. "He does it all the time." I said, "Well, stop feeding him curry," I said, "and he'll stop doing it." She said, "He don't eat curry." I said, "What's he eat?" She said, "Beans." I said, beans, good for the heart. The more you eat, the more you stop it. Stop the beans. Isn't it funny how people's marriages fall apart over a tin of beans? I said, "You need Jesus in your Christ." Well, he said, "Well, what good will I do?" I said, "He'll give you the aroma of Christ instead of that other." Okay, I think it's time. Now, this is the word of the Lord to you. Got any withered areas in your life? Don't hide them. This is what Jesus said. And this, when you do what he said, he works what he says and he does it. And this is the word the Lord gave me for you. He said, tell him what I told this man. Stand up in front of everyone. Number two, stretch out your hand. Not your good hand, not your good marriage, not the good relationship you got with that son or daughter, but the relationship you haven't got with the other one. Well, that marriage that's withered, that relationship is withered. Give it to me. And when you give it to me, my life will flow into it and it will bud and blossom and bloom again. Your roses will bloom again. Your apples will come back. Turn to the person next to you. Say, your apples will come back. See, you might be looking unhappy today, but you know, there's joy deep down inside you. I'm just trying to find it. I'm drilling down, and once I hit that oil of joy, I want to tell him, scrap, it'll come. The life of Christ is here. I know, because I know the times in my own life where it's come up. And that's what he's saying to you this morning. So I only got two things for you. One is, stand up in front of everybody. And if this word is for you, and I'm not forcing or pushing anything, but if this is a word for you, and you are after that miracle of a restoration in some area of your life that's withered, of a move of God in some area where this becomes static and stale and stuck, let me tell you, the life of Christ can flow in our branch again and bring you back to life. Some things you've got to leave buried. Some things you've got to say, okay, Lord, I'm just going onwards and forwards. And remember, God works everything together for your good. And he's worked everything together for your good for you to be here this morning and listen to this word. But he doesn't just want you to be a listener of it. He wants you to do it because he's waiting in the background, ready to come to the foreground to do those things in our lives. You just got to give it over to him. And number two, you've got to forgive other people. Say, I forgive. Come on. Let's get this out of the way. Lord, I forgive and forget. What everybody's done. How many have been hurt by other people? Put your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Every one of you. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Lord, they've hurt me so much, Lord. That's it. Jesus wants to ask you a different question. How many of you have hurt other people? I don't like to admit. Not so much as they hurt me, Lord. No. Stretch out your hand. Oh, Lord, this is painful, Lord. Yes, because hurt people. Heal people. Love people. Are you getting it? The life of Christ in you is the life of Christ to share with others. So who is he speaking to? Stand up on your feet. Do it now. Number two. Stretch out your hand. No. No, not that one. Oh, not your good hand. The witheredness in the church. Give him the witheredness where you can come to church and praise the Lord in front of people and we go home as low as a caterpillar's belly. Give him that withered because you'll be singing louder in private than you will in public. Give him that to the Lord this morning. Give him, Lord, I give him my disappointments, Lord. I give you my dead hopes this morning. Come on, say, Lord, I give you my dead and dying hopes. Lord, I give you the area of my finances, what was once blessed, but it's now withered. So withered. Who's that this morning? Just give me a little wave. God bless you. God bless you. He's touching the areas of your finances. Just say, Lord, I give you my withered finances, Lord. Lord, increase the flow. Lord, I give you my lost joy. I was so joyful. I was an happy Christian one time, Lord. I don't know what's happened, but over time, Lord, something is coming. Lord, I give you my withered joy. Who's that this morning? Give me away. God bless you. God bless you. Several with, oh, yes. He's going to restore your joy this morning. Oh, I'm the greatest one of all, Lord. I give you my withered love. My love for you, Lord. And my love for other people. Who's that this morning? Yeah, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Oh. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just go one more step. The Lord is calling. The Lord is calling you into deeper waters. He's calling me to tell you. He says, come close, come to me. I just got to obey God. I got to obey the Holy Spirit. He's calling you not just the sender, not just the giver. Just come and stand at the front. And he's going to move in on you in power.